Case for argument, American Conservancy versus the Army Corps of Engineers, Ms. Huberts.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Liz Huberts, and I represent appellants American Bottom Conservancy, or ABC. ABC has challenged a permit issued by the Corps of Engineers to waste management, and the permit authorizes the destruction of wetlands along the Mississippi River in order to build the North Milam landfill. That's ABC's burden to show standing, and we did this by submitting the uncontroverted affidavits of three of ABC's members along with the motion for summary judgment. The ABC members testified that they regularly use Horseshoe Lake State Park, which abuts the North Milam site.
But two of the affidavits, though, are concerned with the landfill rather than the wetlands as such, right?
That's correct.
And the Army Corps of Engineers is just interested in wetlands, right? It's not going to determine whether there's a landfill. If they give clearance to destroy the wetlands, then the Illinois EPA decides whether there's going to be a landfill. Isn't that correct?
Not precisely. What the Illinois EPA can decide that the landfill should go up, but the Corps still can refuse to allow the destruction of the wetlands at the North Milam site. So even if Illinois EPA just says, great, we love your landfill project, the Corps can still say, no, it's not going here. And our objection is to it going here, and that's why ABC has standing. It's the North Milam site in particular. And even though the Corps does not grant landfill construction permits, I mean, doesn't grant borrow pit permits either, it does have to consider the nature of the project that the wetlands are being destroyed for. Its regulations and the National Environmental Policy Act regulations require it to look at the general goals of the project and determine whether it's in the public interest that the wetlands be destroyed or whether there are alternatives that are less destructive. That's what we're getting to the merits. That's what we say the Corps didn't do here.
Could you argue to the Corps of Engineers that they shouldn't allow these wetlands to be destroyed because the land the use of them for a landfill is an unworthy project? Or would they just stop their consideration with the wetlands?
No, they have to consider the landfill. They have to specifically consider alternatives to the landfill, or really to what is the St. Louis area going to do with its garbage, is I suppose the real question. There is an existing landfill south of the North Milam site that's going to close up in a few years, and Waste Management wants to put the new one where the wetlands are now. So what the Corps has to look at is, are there alternatives to doing that, like putting the waste somewhere else or building a new landfill somewhere else? And it also has to consider, in fact, its own regulations require it to presume that such alternatives exist. It also has to consider...
I may be quite wrong, but what I thought was that all the Corps of Engineers would care about was that if certain wetlands were destroyed for landfill or for anything, that some equal amount of wetlands were created elsewhere, something of that sort. But you're suggesting, no, they might say, rather than destroying these wetlands and creating new ones, you shouldn't do the destruction because the landfill project is not worth building.
Yes, that's our position on the merits.
The Corps of Engineers have to get into all these questions about how much garbage St. Louis has and where it can be dumped. But
that's their responsibility.
They look at
that's in this court Simmons case where they're talking about how two cities were going to get their water, and they did have to consider other methods besides building the reservoir that the Corps was okay and that cities wanted to build. They could consider other ways, like maybe each city can get its water from two different sources. In other words, they're not sort of stuck on the plan that comes up before them. They have to consider alternatives, even if those alternatives are very different from the project being suggested.
Well, your objective appears to be, at least the way I look at it, is that yes, the borrow pit is going to be used for the present landfill for the time being. But I assume you also, your people also, this is all a standing issue, so we're not looking at the merits. They anticipate another landfill coming that can't do without this borrow pit. Is that a correct assumption?
Yeah, we'd say is the borrow pit gives them a head start on their new landfill.
Well, they're going to have one.
Right, they're going to have one. Or they could, I don't know, the other landfills, there's a landfill at Marissa, for example, that's apparently still accepting waste. Perhaps that's an alternative that should be considered. Why don't you take the waste to this one instead of building the new one? Why don't you build a new landfill in some place that's not on protected wetlands?
But that's ahead. Now, you want to you want to stop the Corps from doing this, whatever you want to call it, this borrow pit mitigation in anticipation of what it's going to be used for in the future. You're already stuck with one landfill, right? So it's there, and whatever wind blows or mountains are built and all that stuff, that's going on. Your people apparently anticipate the next one.
Well, that's right. And then the park that they use is up here. The current landfill is down here, and the new landfill would be in the middle, butting up next to the park. It's about a mile from this edge of the park to where the current landfill starts, so it's considerably farther away than the new one would be.
If we confine it just to the present goal and argument, Corps would want to confine it to say, look, all we're looking at is this borrow pit. We're going to have mitigation. Everything's going to be taken care of, and we're going to use it for the time being. That's the limit. I think your people want to extend it on, just judge called it speculation, but in the future. And that's where I get in the standing issue. You don't have to have much to get standing. You may have to need a lot more to win on the merits.
I think that's...
Well, isn't your basic issue about standing that whatever they do, when they create the borrow pit, even if there's never a landfill there, it's going to destroy these wetlands and these trees and so on that the wildlife uses.
That's correct.
And it'll take many years for a new habitat to be created.
That's correct.
Isn't that really the main thrust of your...
That's the essential part of our injury that we can trace to the destruction of wetlands. Some trees are going to be chopped down, some wetlands are going to be no more, and the animals that are currently using them are either going to leave, good luck, or else they're going to die. So there will be fewer animals, birds, butterflies in the area for ABC members to watch and enjoy.
Of course, if they leave and go somewhere else, they're going to be benefiting some comparable group, right? Who can intervene and say,
fortunately, we haven't done that yet.
What Judge Murphy was saying, in a way, it was almost like a ripeness idea that we're not there yet. There's no immediate injury that you're threatened with. So you could have accepted his decision and come back with your amended complaint when the waste management applies for its second permit from the EPA, IEPA.
I think that's true. We were just this wasn't the sort of easily fixable amending your complaint. It's as if the case had been stayed, but dismissed, and we'd be back. We already have statute with latches problems have been raised in this case already, so we're looking at some unknown number of years, most likely, before this permit is granted, and then we have to go back to the trial court and start over again. And I don't think that's the law of this circuit. I think it's pretty common for there to be more than one permit in a process. Like if you're building a condominium complex, you might have to go through zoning, you might have to get construction permits. And it's as long as the chain of permits, each step in the chain makes it more likely that the project is finally going to get built. That's sort of what we're saying here. This North Milam, if the Corps grants the permit, that makes it more likely that the landfill's going in at North Milam. And that's enough for standing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me. I can talk a little bit more about the reason that we think that what the trial court specifically found wrong with our injury from the wetlands were a couple of things. This is actually why we couldn't come right back into court. I see I'm into rebuttal time. May I reserve?
If you'd prefer.
Or I you would.
Can say something now. We'll still give you rebuttal time. So.
I'll wait for rebuttal. I'd like to hear what the other side has to say. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Huberts. Ms. Hanson-Young?
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Tekla Hanson-Young, and I represent the Army Corps of Engineers. The only issue before this Court today is whether American Bottom Conservancy has standing to challenge the
weakness of your case is the wetlands. If the wetlands are destroyed, then, the animals flee, and the people are deprived of their, nature watching and whatever they like. So.
And that is true in a typical case involving public lands. The issue in this case that makes it different from those typical kinds of cases is that the plaintiffs recreate on a state park, which is far away. It's not that far away, but it's several miles away from the privately owned land that's at issue here. And it's not necessarily clear from the affidavits that have been put forth that the activities occurring on the site will actually cause the impacts that have been alleged.
Isn't that just the merits? That's a merits question.
No, that goes to the element of standing as to whether or not the plaintiffs have established a concrete injury in fact. To demonstrate standing, the plaintiffs need to show that they have a concrete injury in fact that's fairly traceable to the permitted activity and can be redressable by this court.
Well, what is the distance between the park or the lake, whatever it is, where people go, public lands, and the site of this bottom pit?
The recreational areas of the park are 1.5 to 2 miles away. The closest.
What do you mean by recreational areas of the park? How far is the park, the southern edge of the park, how far is that from
the closest
northern
point,
edge of the bottom pit?
The closest point is approximately 1 mile away. And in between the park and
well, 1 mile. Look, these animals, they wander around, right? Birds, obviously. So if you destroy their habitat 1 mile away, that's going to have an effect on the park.
Maybe, but again, we don't know.
Maybe, yes, but what more could they prove?
Well, one example of what
anything to environment as long as it's 1 mile away from private
no,
property
and this
public
court
is, property.
This court has made clear in its decision in Franklin County that in cases of pollution where the harm is more obvious, it would more obviously expand across a certain area, then the plaintiffs don't have to do a lot to show that they would be harmed.
What do they have to show here? Just that if you destroy habitat for animals 1 mile away, it's going to affect the animal population that you can see who wander near the park or fly near the park?
That's exactly right. In this case, where private land is at stake.
What do you like? I mean, you're destroying a fairly large area. What is it, 32 acres?
There are 18 acres of wetlands, which will be replaced by 30.
No, replacement, that takes a long time. That doesn't count at all. What is actually, in the near term, how much is going to be lost?
18 acres will be lost and 8 acres will remain. And the site is 200.
Well, that's a substantial diminution. So there are these birds, butterflies, so on, living on the 18 acres, and then they'll die or they'll wander off somewhere, and then so the only question is whether people who are standing 1 mile away may notice diminution in wildlife.
That's
right? Is that the issue?
That's the issue, and the affidavit.
Why isn't the affidavit sufficient? You could put in counter affidavits, or someone could have put in counter affidavits, which say. no, this wouldn't have any effect.
You're right. The affidavits are getting there. This is a very close case from the Corps' position. But the fact is the courts need to police standing. And when you look at the affidavits very carefully, the affidavits never allege, and particularly the Hohmeyer affidavit, which is the most detailed affidavit with respect to the wildlife impacts, the affidavits never allege that the species that are present on the North Milam site are also using the park or the particular areas of the park where she recreates. She doesn't ever allege...
I missed what you said. The Hohmeyer, where is
this? Affidavit? It's in...
No, I'm just looking for my copy.
The supplemental appendix at 80, American Bottom Conservancy supplemental appendix. If you read that affidavit, and there's a lot in that affidavit that talks about the types of birds, but she never links those birds to either the North Milam site or to the park.
What do you? All right, I have her affidavit. Now, what are you looking at?
Okay, if you look at paragraphs 10 and going on, so that's page 3 of the affidavit, 10, 11, and continuing on to the next page, there's a lot in there about different birds, but it could have been excerpted from a textbook on birds of North America. We just simply don't know if these birds are at the North Milam site or, more particularly, at the park where she would observe them or in the area of the park where she would observe them. The same with respect to the butterflies. She alleges that butterflies reside in a territory year-round, but she doesn't ever say that the butterflies that she observes at Horseshoe Lake, which are there's several rare species such as bronze copper, paragraph 17 I'm at right now, she doesn't ever allege that those butterflies present at Horseshoe Lake are at the North Milam site, and that therefore the destruction of the wetlands at the Milam site would negatively impact her use or enjoyment of the park. And in this kind of, this is not an abnormal situation. It's very similar to the...
She says the Horseshoe Lake area contains several rare or uncommon butterfly species.
Right, and then she says gray copper is at Horseshoe Lake. Bronze copper is also found at Horseshoe Lake. But she doesn't say that those...
She says the Horseshoe Lake area. Wouldn't that embrace an area a mile south of that?
Maybe, but again, as the Supreme Court has made clear, it's not enough to say that, it's not enough to allege impacts to a vague area or an area in vicinity of the impacted site. There has to be something more, and particularly in this case where it's not at all obvious that the landfill may not even occur. It's a sort of secondary impact of the proposal. The primary impact would be the impacts to the wetlands. For use as a borrow pit. And so in this situation, and moreover, there's already an existing landfill close to the site. So in this situation where you have impacts that are not necessarily obvious, the plaintiffs just need to do a little bit more. This is not to say that they can't get standing ever. They may be able to, and this court, if it finds that there is not enough evidence, could remand for a hearing on standing that would allow the Conservancy to supplement the record with respect to standing. That's permissible according to this court's precedent in Planned Parenthood case. And that site is 700 F. 2nd 115. This court could remand for the supplementation of the record with respect to evidence. And moreover, even if this court dismissed...
Isn't it pretty certain there's going to be a landfill?
It's not necessarily certain at all. The state has not acted on the permit.
Is there opposition or what?
My understanding is that there's been opposition, and perhaps Waste Management can speak to this more, but there has been opposition at the community level, and the process has taken several years so far. I believe Waste Management applied for the permit in 2009. So it's not clear that the landfill will actually occur. What this court could do if it finds that there's not enough evidence at the summary judgment stage on this record to support standing is that it could dismiss for lack of standing, affirm the district court, and the Conservancy could still refile its case once the landfill was approved.
But the problem is, of course, they will have lost their chance to block the landfill by persuading the Corps of Engineers not to allow destruction of the wetlands. That'll kill the landfill.
That's not necessarily true. The Corps could...
Nothing's necessarily true.
Right. I mean...
But the reason they're attacking this is primarily to try to kill the landfill.
Well, ABC, if the court were to dismiss this case on standing, the Conservancy could refile its suit against the Corps. It's not barred by the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations is 6 years. The permit was issued in 2008. The Conservancy could refile.
What?
Refile with a better drafted complaint, with better drafted affidavits, and show standing. And challenge the permit in that way.
But their affidavits are not problematic if the focus is on the destruction that will be caused by the landfill.
The Corps' position is that...
The landfill is built. That's going to have an impact. There isn't any question about that. So isn't the real issue whether it is permissible for them to base standing not only on the destruction of the wetlands, but some unknown probability that a landfill occupying several hundred acres, not the 18 acres... will loom there, and that will be unsightly, and that will also, you know, substantially diminish the habitat of these animals very near to the park.
The Corps' position is that it is permissible for the Conservancy to obtain standing by demonstrating harms that would arise from the construction of the landfill. However, that being said, because the possibility of the landfill is a second step, it's more removed, the Conservancy has a burden to demonstrate with specificity the manner in which it will be harmed. Because there's this element of uncertainty with respect to the landfill, its affidavits have to be more specific, and that's consistent with this Court's holding in the Pollock case.
I think they've put in enough to show that if the landfill is built, there's going to be... A reduction in the wildlife population?
No, they haven't done that. Again, as I said earlier, they haven't demonstrated...
And for reason, you take 200 acres away from the birds and so on, there are going to be fewer of them, I mean, obviously.
It's not necessarily obvious when the park
What are they going to do? I don't understand.
The park itself is 3,000 acres, much larger than the 200 acres at issue here, and there's also other...
Look, this is nature. They fill up these niches, and if you take away... You have... The animal population will expand to fill up the available habitat. And if you reduce the habitat by 7%, you're going to have 7% fewer wildlife.
And that might be true at the North Milam.
It is true. I mean, it's not certain, but...
So even if you assume that that is true, then that impact would occur at the North Milam site. But again, it's not clear that the plaintiffs who recreate somewhere else would be impacted by that. And
yeah, but these creatures, the birds and so on, they're moving around. So if you're in a 3,000 acre area and 200 acres at the edge of it are removed, become a landfill, you're going to see fewer birds, right? There are going to be fewer birds.
The problem with the plaintiff's affidavits is that they don't actually say that the birds move between the park and the site. And I'm not saying, the Corps is not saying that these members could never establish standing. The Corps' position is that on the affidavits that were submitted...
Are they supposed to put in their affidavit that birds are known to be mobile?
There may be some birds that use certain trees and are confined to a limited range. It's not necessarily clear. And again, it wouldn't have taken that much for the affidavits to be a little bit more specific. And this court's job is to police standing to ensure that the constitutional requirements are met.
What is the point? If all they have to do is, since the dismissal is without prejudice, you say the statute of limitations hasn't run, you say the court concedes that they can base standing on the effects of the landfill, even though it's not certain to be built. What's the point of delaying this litigation by sending them back so they can do a new set of affidavits?
Are you asking whether the court should address the merits, or are you
What's
asking?
What's the point? I don't understand also why you didn't argue the merits in the alternative, right? Try to wind this up rather than spin it out year after year.
The court didn't brief the merits in this case because the court's position is that if the court finds standing or remands for additional hearing on standing, that the district court should address the merits in the first instance. The district court did not address the merits, although the merits were briefed by all the parties, and the courts typically won't address the merits in a case where the district court hasn't had a first shot at it.
Actual issues involved?
There is a large administrative record that's at issue here, and the issues are whether or not the Corps adequately considered the impacts of the landfill.
That's not a factual issue. That's the adequacy of the administrative record.
That's right.
You argued to us the administrative record is adequate. But anyway, forgetting that, whether you should have argued the merits or not, what's the point of fussing about standing, if you agree, all they have to do is amend their affidavit slightly.
The point is,
years,
they may not be able to do that, and they have the opportunity to do that.
Reduce habitat substantially, you're going to have fewer birds.
That may be true, but that would be true at the North Milam site again, and it's not clear that the birds.
You want affidavits from ornithologists?
That would help, but it's not necessarily needed. If the members alleged that the birds that they saw at the park also used
northern edge of the bottom pit weren't a mile from the southern edge of the park, but 500 feet, would you be making the same argument?
I think the court would have to do less work there. I mean, the point is that the court
would still be arguing that there wasn't standing.
I don't think in that situation that we would. Again, I would have to see the affidavits. I mean, if the affidavits were exactly the same,
suppose there weren't any affidavits.
If there weren't any affidavits.
Affidavits to show standing. You just have the lawsuit.
Right. If there were no affidavits and the members recreated immediately next to the site, then, there would be standing. I think that would be correct. But if there's some feature in between the area where the plaintiffs recreate and the site at issue, and here there's a large buffer zone that has that provides habitat for wildlife, if there's a feature in between, then it becomes less likely that the area that the plaintiffs would recreate in would be impacted. And in that situation, the affidavits just need a little bit more. And this may seem nitpicky, but again, it's not the court's job to presume facts that are not in the affidavits. And the plaintiffs need to supply the appropriate degree of evidence at the relative stage in litigation. And here, it was summary judgment, and the plaintiffs just didn't meet their burden.
Of course, you're wasting the government's money in litigating this when you've acknowledged that all they have to do is file new affidavits.
Again, the government didn't appeal on this issue, and in the district court, the government simply briefed the merits of the case. We didn't argue the standing issue in the district court. On appeal, we reevaluated the issue, looked very closely at these affidavits, and determined that although the affidavits are getting there, they just don't, in fact, get there, and so we decided to raise this argument on appeal.
Did you rebut any of this evidence in your merits brief, such as that these butterflies aren't really there or anything like that?
In our footnote in the merits brief, we did mention that it was not clear. Or we did mention something along the lines of there's a lot of habitat in the area for wildlife, so it's not necessarily clear that this would be would be the case. But no, we didn't...
Following up on Judge Lefkoe's question, why not put in your own affidavit if you really thought that there was something amiss here?
And we just missed this argument in the district court. And
having an appeal over it seems such a waste of time.
And we do apologize to the court that we didn't brief this issue in the district court. We just simply missed it. And it would have been helpful. The court acknowledges
that. Not to brief it. Just ignore it and get to the point, you know, whether the Corps of Engineers can. Are there other opponents? Are there other parties in this Corps of Engineer? Has it only been challenged by the... American Bottom Conservatory?
That's correct. It has only been challenged. And again, the state permit has not been issued yet.
We understand. Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Hanson-Young. And Mr. Fry?
May it please the court. Nick Fry on behalf of the Appalee Waste Management. This court should affirm the judgment of the district court because ABC has failed to prove its members have standing. ABC failed to prove its members would suffer an actual or imminent injury from the issuance of the permit that they have challenged. ABC has also failed to prove that their injuries, their claimed injuries, would be redressed by a favorable decision of this court. In an effort to establish standing, ABC's members put forth three affidavits. The affidavits of members Andrea and Feldworth claim injury solely arising from the construction and operation of a landfill.
Sure, but the government says that's fine.
That is incorrect. The government's position...
That's what she just said, so...
The government's position on standing as well as ABC's position...
No, she said that the plaintiffs can establish standing by showing that the landfill, although not certain to be built, would, if built, interfere with their, you know, enjoyment of nature.
And that is incorrect. In order to establish Article III standing, a plaintiff...
Sure, it's incorrect. If there's a high probability that the landfill will be built, that increases the likelihood of an adverse effect on the plaintiffs.
I think it's very important to take a look at what this permit actually authorizes.
Judge Mannion said not much is required for standing. I mean, obviously, you couldn't have someone in California bringing suit here, concerned about the possible effects of diminution of habitat here with birds in California. There probably is some minute effect, right? But you have proximity, a mile away.
Proximity is not the issue here. The issue here is whether
proximity is pretty important, right? If you're a wildlife buff, you know, you want to be able to see these creatures.
Depending on the claimed injury,
a mile away.
Depending on the claimed injury, geographic location proximity can be relevant. But here, none of ABC's members have claimed to be injured by the removal of 18.4 acres of wetland. I think it's very important that the affidavits...
Well, the Homeyer affidavit does separate, not clearly, the destruction of the wetlands from the construction of the landfill.
The Homeyer affidavit is very clear that she is going to be injured by the destruction of 200 acres of habitat. Nothing in this permit authorizes Waste Management to destroy 200 acres of habitat. The entire North Milam property is 222 acres. Approximately 26 of those acres.
How many acres did the landfill, the existing landfill, the one south of that, occupy?
I do not know the answer to that question.
Well, that's kind of important, right?
Well,
because if this is going to be the replacement landfill, it's going to be as large. Isn't it?
I don't think it's important because...
Is it going to be as large?
The landfill that is currently being applied for is going to be a 100-acre, have a 100-acre footprint.
So she's wrong about the 200 acres?
Well, 200 acres is the entire North Milam property. Waste Management intends to use all of the North Milam property for the borrow pit, for cover soil, for either the current landfill or the one that may be at some point permanent that we're currently applying for.
So the 200 acres will be denuded of trees, presumably.
Correct. It's currently generally now used as farmland, or was previously used as farmland. Waste Management now uses some of that area for a borrow pit for the current existing landfill. But going back to Ms. Homeyer's affidavit, she relates her injury to the destruction of 200 acres of habitat.
What you want to do.
But that's not the regulated activity. The regulated activity here is the dredging and filling of 18.4 acres of wetlands.
But that's what you want. You want to destroy the surface of the 200 acres.
But we don't need the Corps' permission to do that, which brings me to the redressability issue. If ABC is granted the relief they seek, which is essentially voiding the current permit, that does not prevent Waste Management from constructing and operating a landfill on that property. All it does is require Waste Management to avoid the wetlands on that property. And as the Supreme Court, I apologize, I see I'm out of time.
Why are you bothering to seek a wetlands permit from the Corps?
Because we would like to use the entire North Milam property for cover soil for the existing and future potential.
Could you actually build the landfill without those 18 acres? Bet you couldn't. Or else you wouldn't bother with all this litigation, right? If all you have to do is skirt 18, you've got 200 acres, you say you only need 100 for the landfill, 18 acres, less than 10%, and you don't need them for the landfill, but you're still litigating with the Corps of Engineers, litigating.
Could we build the 100 acre landfill without impacting these 18 acres? I don't know, but the point is
that's kind of important, right? Because here you're saying, well, they have nothing to gain because, in revenge, you're going to level the whole 200 acres, whether you get a permit or not.
Well, it's certainly not out of revenge.
You can't build a landfill if you don't get the 18 acres.
It's out of the need of the current project, which is to use that property as cover soil. We need to impact those 18 acres of wetland. That's the permit we applied for. That's what this permit allows us to do. It doesn't allow us to do anything beyond impact this 18.4 acres of wetland. And the Corps cannot...
But you wouldn't be pursuing this litigation if you didn't have high hopes of getting a permit for the landfill.
Waste Management isn't pursuing this litigation. ABC is pursuing
this litigation. You're defending it. I understand that.
Excuse me?
You're the... Rigged suit, I guess. You cited Pollock. I assume you, the red brief.
Yes.
I don't know who did what.
Yes.
But it's and of course in Pollock that was very obscure, and so that we found that there was not sufficient standing, and we also said in there they obviously could have done some other things with affidavits, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Talk about water 14 miles away and a whole lakefront all the way in Illinois and all that stuff. So it was really remote. This is more focused. If you look at that Elk Grove case, we're talking about, sort of a probability or not even a sort of a limited probability. And as Judge Posner points out, this seems to be what they're doing is an anticipation of this landfill. But to what extent, what would they need to get standing?
In order to get standing,
more affidavits.
In order to get standing in this case, a plaintiff would have to prove that they are somehow impacted.
No. Yeah, concrete. Be concrete. This case, not general language. What do these people have to do on
ABC the would have to prove that they were
not to prove what factually what facts they have to put in their affidavits.
That they were injured.
No. Can't you be concrete?
Okay.
Talk about injury. Talk about what facts. Injury is not a fact.
So
what do they have to put in their affidavit?
So the plaintiffs have described how they enjoy watching the birds and butterflies at Horseshoe Lake State Park. They would have to prove that the birds and butterflies that they watch at that those birds recreate or live in that 18.4 acres of wetlands that are going to be impacted by this permit, and that somehow by impacting this 18.4 acres where the birds and butterflies that they observe at the park would diminish their ability at the park to observe those same birds and butterflies. And that is not the injury they have alleged in this case.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Fry. Ms. Huberts?
Let me first talk a little bit about what the Army Corps of Engineers had to say about the geographical nexus, I suppose that's one way of putting it, between the state park and where the landfill is going to be. I wanted to kind of put this in perspective because in a case from the circuit where the court did find that the plaintiff had alleged a sufficient nexus, the big area, Mark Twain National Forest, this is the Benzman case, is 1.5 million acres. The area that the witness specified that was found sufficient is more than 7,000 acres. And I got that off of Google. It's not in the brief. So in this case, we're talking the entire Horseshoe Park area is less than half of the area that was specified. So even if you have Horseshoe Park plus North Milam site, you're still talking a far smaller area than one that this court found, yes, that's pinpointing it enough. Secondly, as far as the mobility of the birds and bees and the existence of harm, what this court said in Franklin County Power was that it's the existence, not the extent, of the injury. We know that there are trees in the wetlands. We know that some of those trees are going to be destroyed. And this is also in the Corps' findings, the record of decision. It's about at our Appendix 146, I think. They say, yes, the forested wetlands, trees will be cut down, habitat will be lost. But as far as what we have to show, we have to have a not irrational belief that we're going to be affected by this. And I think we've met that standard because that's what we've shown. I mean, birds don't have passports. You look up and you see birds flying around. You don't know for sure, you can't say for certain whether they came from this side or that side of the park, whether they're nesting, you know, the kinds of trees, you know, the kinds of trees are there on North Milam, but you can't, nobody could say whether any given bird was a North Milam resident or a Horseshoe Lake State Park resident. And that's really more than the burden of proof that we should have to shoulder here. I also, to sort of orient the court a little bit to what we're looking at, if you look at the Corps separate appendix, starting at page 22, they have some pictures that are taken standing in Horseshoe Lake Park looking towards where the landfill is going to go. So you can kind of see it's one big green space. It's not like there's this barrier in between. There's a railroad in there, which you can't really see in the pictures, but other than that, it's pretty much an open space with similar clumps of trees and so on all over the place. So it's, I think, easy for animals to move back and forth between there. We didn't say that in the affidavit, although I think it's pretty much implied, and since they are uncontroverted and it was a summary judgment motion, I think we should get the benefit of the doubt on that. Regarding the Mr. Fry had to say, what Waste Management had to say, first of all, there's a pretty good picture of the footprint of the landfill, again, in the Corps appendix at 27, that kind of shows where the waste is going to go and the outline of the facility on it. And you can see in that picture how close the two areas are. But more importantly, we've always found it somewhat difficult to believe that the landfill could somehow avoid the wetlands, but digging a pit for dirt can't avoid the wetlands. I don't think that there's anything indicating that so, and as a matter of fact, Waste Management told the Corps that it couldn't avoid the wetlands when it was digging its borrow pit, even though, again, that seems to be a much less destructive activity.
Where are they putting the mitigation?
It's going sort of off to the left. All right, again, I'm trying. This is Horseshoe Lake is here. North Milam is here. It's kind of going over here. Horseshoe Lake comes down a little bit like that. So it's off to the side.
Was that owned by Waste Management?
I believe it is.
I mean, they're going to mitigate something. I assume they own it or something. Is it not part of this 200 acres?
No, it's a separate. I believe it's a separate property, although I'm not sure.
Of course, that's one theory. You know, they'll give them a place to, someplace else to park, I guess, is putting it together. But I guess it's the thing that we sort of struggle with is to what extent you have to allege something. And it's pretty easy to say something. You know, okay, that bird, maybe they banned them or something, but, you know, birds are territorial. Some of them do fly farther than others, and people go around with field glasses trying to follow them around and things like that. So I keep coming back to this. It doesn't take a whole lot to say something. You get to the merits. Now you're looking at need and a lot of other things that may override what people want to look at. We're not there yet. So the question is, do we, in anticipation of this landfill, are they saying things that hope that if they don't have this borrow pit, then they can't do the landfill?
I think I'm not sure I understand your question.
I'm projecting, and the district court says speculating, but it's something like that, and we've sort of gone on that. It just seems to me what the objective is here is to nip it in the bud. If we can stop the borrow pit, they can't go on with the landfill.
Well, I think that's right, except that the borrow pit and the landfill are tied up together.
Right.
I see my time is
done.
Okay. There, first of all, if you take a look at the administrative record, it's mostly about the landfill. There was a previous proceeding in the city of Madison. It's like 1,600 pages of all about the landfill. I mean, the landfill was so intrinsically part of this. What I think we are objecting to with the borrow pit.
Not the Gisting one, the next landfill, right?
The next landfill, that's correct. They had to get permission from the city of Madison to put the landfill in city of Madison's boundaries, and city of Madison gets fees if they put it in there. So the landfill, and this, I said it's the 200-pound gorilla, or the elephant in the room. Everybody knew that knows that this is really about the landfill. And what we thought might have happened was that Waste Management came in with this seemingly less destructive borrow pit, hoping no one would notice that there was this landfill going in, and kind of do an end run around the things that NEPA and the Corps' regulations require it to do.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more in litigation.
I think that's probably the case, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
And we thank Ms. Hanson-Young and Mr. Fry as well for very interesting arguments. And we'll move on.